Enjoy breathing in and release the tension to enjoy life in the here and the now. And while breathing out, we can smile. Breathing in, I feel alive. Breathing out, I smile. I listen, this wonderful sound brings my back to my true home in the here and the now. So the Bell Master allowed us enough time to enjoy three in-breath and three out-breath. So it may be 30 seconds, 20 seconds, or 30 seconds. And during the time we breathe together mindfully, we produce the energy, the collective energy of mindfulness, of peace, which will be very healing. We do it together. And then the bell master will invite the bell to sound for the second time. We have enough time to enjoy our three in-breath and out-breath. And then after the third sound of the bell, we also have a chance to enjoy three in-breath and out-breath, generating the energy of mindfulness, compassion, and joy. And when we do that together, the collective energy is powerful, very helpful. So let us enjoy three sounds together with the bell master, Thầy Pháp Hữu. Pháp Hữu means Dharma friend. Good morning, dear Sangha. Welcome to the second week of Plum Village summer opening. Today is the 15th of July in the year 2011, and we are in the Stillwater Meditation Hall of the Upper Hamlet, Plum Village, during our summer retreat. When the babies are in the Dharma hall, they don't understand the Dharma talk, of course, but they can feel the energy of peace in the hall, because everyone is breathing in mindfully, breathing out mindfully, releasing the tension in the body, releasing the tension in the feelings. That is why the babies can feel very well the that atmosphere of peace. And they will remember. Later on, when they grow up, they will go in situations of turmoil, violence, and they can remember moments of peace when they were a toddler, and they know how to go back to that moment. So we are planting a seed of peace in the babies just by bringing them into the Dhamma hall. We know the collective energy of mindfulness and peace is very healing, transforming, and nourishing. And that energy can be produced only by the practice of mindful breathing, mindful walking. We cannot buy that in the supermarket. We need a lot of that energy in order to go on. Last week, the children also learned about the first and the second mantra. The first mantra is to produce your own presence. Darling, I am here for you. And the second mantra is to recognize the presence of the other person, the person we love. Darling, I know you are there, and I am very happy. The children have learned many things during the past week. And we are down to, we have learned about the first 8 exercises of mindful breathing. And today we can continue. The first exercise of mindful breathing is to recognize our in-breath and out-breath, and to enjoy our in-breath while breathing in, to enjoy our out-breath while breathing out. And we can do that at any time of the day, sitting on a bus, on the bus, or walking, or watering the vegetable garden. We can always enjoy our in-breath and our out-breath. We stay with our in-breath. We stay with our out-breath. We produce our presence, and we are with us. We are always with us. Because when we are mindful of our in-breath and out-breath, our mind is there for us. And if we are not there, we cannot be for someone else. And to love means to be there for him or for her. But in order to be there for him or for her, you have to be there for yourself first. So that is why the children understand well the first mantra, I'm here, with the practice of mindful breathing. And since I am here, I can recognize your presence as something very precious for me. So the second mantra is to recognize the presence of the other person. You cannot recognize his or her presence unless you are truly there. So the first mantra is to be there. The second mantra is to recognize the presence of our beloved one. And the children learn that they can practice that with their parents, and they can even practice with their mobile telephone. And why Thera reads what he wrote, he also follows his in-breath and out-breath. So the first exercise is to enjoy and recognize your in-breath and your out-breath. The second is to follow to accompany your in-breath all the way through. Your in-breath may last 3 or 4 seconds or 5. And you follow your in-breath all the way through. There is no interruption during that time. You are completely concentrated in your in-breath. And while breathing in, you can enjoy deeply your in-breath. And during the in-breath, you may get the insight that it's wonderful to be alive. It's wonderful that the wonders of life are all around me and in me. So that is the kind of insight that can arise during the time of your in-breath. If you allow your mind to be entirely with your in-breath, without any interruption by the thinking or by the talking. So your in-breath helps cultivate not only mindfulness, but also concentration and insight. And breathing in mindfully, we can get the insight that we are alive. And it's a wonderful thing to be alive. And we touch the miracle of being alive, which is the greatest of all miracles. So the second exercise is to follow our in-breath all the way through. Recognize, enjoy your in-breath and your breath. And the second is to follow all the way through. In-breath and out-breath. And according to this practice, you don't have to suffer when you practice. In fact, you can enjoy your practice of breathing in and breathing out. And if you enjoy your in-breath, you know that you are doing correctly. If you feel fine, you feel happy, calm, during breathing in, you know that your practice is good, is correct. But if you suffer, you know that this is not a correct way of practicing. So peace and happiness is a kind of yardstick for us to know whether our practice is correct or not. And the third exercise of mindfulness is breathing in, I'm aware of my whole body. So during the whole time of breathing in, you get in touch with your body. 3, 4, 6, 7 seconds, just get in touch with your body. The mind may not be there. So breathing in, bring the mind home to the body and get in touch deeply with the body. This is a kind of reunion between mind and body. And when mind and body are together, you are there. You are truly there, fully present. You are ready to touch life and all the wonders of life. Practice is simple, but effect can be great. Mindfulness helps you to be there fully and to be fully alive, to be present. So the third exercise is to be aware of body. And with our body, we may notice that there is still tension, stress, pain in our body. And that is why the Buddha proposed the fourth exercise. I'm breathing in, I release the tension in my body. So breathing in, you allow your muscle to relax. You may like to smile. And while smiling, you allow all the muscles on your face to relax. There are about 300-400 muscles on our face. And when we worry or we get angry, they come very tense. But if we know how to breathe in and smile, we release all these hundreds of muscles, and we look much, much better in a glass. So the fourth is to release the tension in the body. And when the tension is released, the pain in the body will be reduced. So the first four exercises is to take care of our body, because our in-breath and out-breath belong to the domain of the body. And when we come to the fifth exercise, we touch the realm of feelings, breathing in. I am aware of a pleasant feeling in me. A feeling of joy in me. Feeling joy. And the sixth is feeling happiness. And this is not wishful thinking. This is a practice. Because when you are able to go home to the here and the now with the mindful breathing, you suddenly get in touch with many conditions of happiness that are available in the here and the now. Your eyes are still in good conditions. You can enjoy breathing in. Your heart is still in good condition. You can enjoy, your feet are strong enough for you to enjoy walking or running. Many good conditions of happiness are with you inside and around. So when you get in touch with conditions of happiness, joy is born. Happiness is born. And that is why, as a practitioner, you have the capacity to generate a feeling of joy. You can bring in a feeling of happiness at any time you want, because conditions of happiness are more than enough for us to be happy. And if you go home to the here and the now by mindful breathing, we can touch many conditions of that happiness, and happiness become possible. Those of us who do not practice, we think that happiness is not possible now. We have to go into the future in order to look for conditions of happiness. But for us practitioners, we know that conditions of happiness are plenty now. You need only to go home to the here and the now, and you get in touch with many of them. And by that way, you generate a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness to nourish you. And that can be done right away in a few seconds. So we should train ourselves to generate a feeling of joy, generate a feeling of happiness. And when a feeling of joy and happiness is manifested, we observe it. We recognize it. And that is the object of the fifth and the sixth exercise. I think parents and teachers should tell their students how to do that. If we know how to do that, and then we will teach our children, our students to do it, to generate a feeling of happiness and joy. You don't need to go to the market to buy things in order to be happy. The seventh is to recognize a feeling that is painful. Aware of painful feeling. Breathing in, I'm aware of the painful feeling in me. That may be a physical pain, or maybe a mental pain. That may be anger, fear, despair. So when the pain arises, a practitioner knows how to take care of that pain, of that emotion, and do not allow himself or herself to be a victim of that painful feeling, of that painful emotion. When the painful feeling or emotion arises, the practitioner always, right away, goes back to his mindful breathing or mindful walking and generate the energy of mindfulness. And if we train ourselves, that will come naturally. What we do is to go home to our in-breath and breathe in mindfully. Or what we do is to begin walking mindfully and generate the energy of mindfulness with every step. Mindfulness is always mindfulness of something. Mindfulness of drinking when you drink. Mindfulness of breathing when you breathe. When mindfulness of walking when you walk. So anything that is done mindfully generates the energy of mindfulness. And it is the energy of mindfulness that can recognize the energy of pain and embrace the energy of pain tenderly, like a mother embracing her baby. So the practitioner, every time realizes that the pain is there, she goes back to her breathing, generating the energy of mindfulness, recognize the pain and embrace the pain tenderly, like a mother embracing her suffering baby. My dear pain, my little anger, I know you are there. My little despair, I know you are there. I'm here for you. So it's kind of first mantra. You are there. Second mantra. First mantra, you are there for your suffering. If the mother allow herself to be there for her baby, so we should be there for our pain, our sorrow. We should not try to run away from our pain, our sorrow. Instead, we have to go home and touch and embrace that pain and sorrow. And embracing means something being embraced and something doing the work of embracing. So the energy of pain and sorrow is the object, and the subject is the energy of mindfulness. And the practitioner is someone who can generate mindfulness in order to recognize and embrace the painful feeling. And this is the seventh exercise. And the eighth exercise is to release the tension in the feeling, in the emotion. The young people who commit suicide because the painful emotion is too strong. They don't know how to handle a strong emotion. Like despair, anger. They are 16, they are 17, they are 20, 21. And when the strong emotion is coming up, they suffer so much. They don't know how to handle emotion. And they believe that the only way to stop suffering is to go and kill themselves. They don't know that an emotion is just an emotion. An emotion that is something that comes, that stays for some time and will have to go after some time. And you are much more than one emotion. But why do you have to die just because of one emotion? So we as parents and teachers, we have to know that in order to tell our children and our students, don't do that. Don't die just because of one emotion. Because you are much, much more than one emotion. And emotion is always impermanent. It can come and stay for some time, maybe for a few hours. And finally they have to go, why do we have to die because of that? So this exercise is to generate the energy of mindfulness in order to recognize and to hold the emotion, the painful feeling. We suffer much less during the time we practice like that. So there is the stormy energy of the emotion of the pain, but there is a peaceful energy of mindfulness that can recognize and take care. Mindfulness is like the Buddha. Mindfulness is the energy of the Buddha. And if the Buddha is there, why do you have to worry? The Buddha will take care. The Buddha is not someone outside. The Buddha is the mindfulness, the concentration, the inside in you. And you call for the Buddha inside of you for help. And the Buddha manifests in the form of energy, mindfulness, concentration. And the Buddha is holding your pain like a mother holding her baby. So this morning we practice chanting and listening in order to get in touch with our body. We did that. We generate mindfulness in order to get in touch with the pain inside and around us. We are no longer victim of our pain, our suffering. But we are doing something that can take care of the pain and the sorrow in us. So the aid is to embrace, to recognize, and to release the tension. In the painful feeling or the painful emotion. So it's very clear that according to this practice, a practitioner should be capable of generating a feeling of joy, generating a feeling of happiness with the use of the energy of mindfulness. And a practitioner should also be able to handle a painful feeling, a painful emotion. And if school teachers know how to do it, they will tell their students. If parents know how to do it, they will tell their students. There is a point just below the navel called Dan Dien. And when the strong emotion arises, we have to sit down or lie down and put our hand on it and begin to breathe in. We breathe in deeply and become aware of the rising of our abdomen. We breathe out deeply and allow our abdomen to fall. We focus our attention on the rising and falling of our abdomen. We don't stay here anymore. We don't think about it anymore. We don't stay with our intellect, with our ideas. So stop talking, stop thinking. Just bring your mind down to the level of the stomach and focus all your attention on the rising and falling of your abdomen. Breathing in, my abdomen is rising. This is called belly breathing. Breathing with your abdomen. Breathing in. It may take 10, 8, 10, even 15 seconds to breathe in. And it may take a little bit more to breathe out. And you can do that in the position of walking also. You breathe in, and you may make 3, 4, 5 steps while breathing in. Just paying attention to the in-breath and the steps, and do not think. We have to leave the area of the brain and go down to the area of the stomach, of the abdomen, and focus our attention only on the in-breath and out-breath. In order to survive the emotion, we should be able to do that, not to think. The more we think, the more the emotion becomes stronger. Stop the thinking, just focus on your in-breath, out-breath, and follow the rise and fall of your abdomen. And if we know how to do that, and then during that time, the emotion cannot do anything to us. It's still there, but we are strong enough. Because we know how to use the energy of mindfulness and concentration to stand firm. It's like during the storm. During the storm, if the tree is deeply rooted in the ground, and stick to the ground with her roots, and the storm cannot do anything. So when we look at the tree during the storm, we see that in the top of the trees, leaves and branches are swaying back and forth very violently. And there is a feeling of fragility. And we have impression that the tree can be blown away at any time. But when we focus our attention to the trunk of the tree, and we become aware that the tree is deeply rooted in the earth, and then that feeling of fragility is no longer there, we know that the tree is going to stand. So during the storm of the feeling of the emotion, we should not stay on the top of our tree. We have to go down to the trunk, and our trunk is here. So embrace the trunk and breathe, and the storm will not do anything to us. I know you are there, the storm, but I am with my trunk, my roots, firm in the ground. I'm breathing. So in the sitting position, lying position, or walking position, you embrace your mindful breathing and you stand. And the storm of the emotion can stay for 15 minutes or half an hour or 1 hour, but it will have to go. And when the storm is gone, you smile and you say that, well, I have succeeded. And the next time when a strong emotion comes, I am no longer afraid. I will do exactly that. And I can survive the emotion very well with the practice of mindful, deep breathing with the stomach. So we should remember there are things, there are one thing you should remember during the time of breathing. An emotion is impermanent. Emotions are impermanent. An emotion is something that can stay for some time and will have to go, and more than an emotion. Just remember that. I'm not afraid. And if parents know how to do it, teachers know how to do it, they will teach their children. If the child is still small, we can hold his hand. And you say, darling, breathe with mommy, breathe with daddy. Now, we breathe in. Don't you see that your stomach is, your abdomen is rising? Just think of that. Now it's rising. Now it's falling. Rising, falling. And you teach your child to breathe in and out. And while you hold his hand, you transmit to him or to her your energy of mindfulness. And you train your child to breathe in and out. Because a child can be victim of a strong feeling, emotion. And he can learn how to breathe in order to cope with his emotion. I think children of 5, 6 can all already learn to do that with the help of their parents. And if you teach a young person how to do that, you may save his or her life. When the emotion comes, he will not go and kill himself. He knows how to sit down and survive with the practice of mindful breathing, embracing the trunk. But don't wait until the strong emotion comes in order to practice. You will forget. It's good to try every day 5 minutes of that practice of mindful breathing with your belly. And after a few weeks, you are used to it. And when the emotion comes, you remember to do it. And you can survive easily an emotion. And you have to tell the young people, it's stupid to die. It is easy to survive a strong emotion. So the sutra on mindful breathing, you have to study. You have to learn how to apply into our daily life. We have much more peace, solidity, and freedom. So today we continue with the 9 exercises. From the realm of the body, we have come to the realm of feeling. And from the realm of feeling, now we come to the 9 exercises, the realm of the mental formation. Formation, samskara, is a technical term. Formation is just composite thing, like this flower. This flower is a formation because it is made of many elements. It's called a composite things. We see the cloud, the rain, the sunshine, the earth, the seed, the gardener,
We see the flower as made of many non-flower elements. So a flower is a formation, a composite phenomenon. The book, the notebook is also a formation. It is made of trees and workers and all that. So the glass is a formation. It is a physical formation. And the Buddha said every formation is impermanent. When we come to our fear, our anger, it's no longer a physical formation, but it is a mental formation. Our fear, our anger, our happiness, our mindfulness are formations. And in a Buddhist tradition, we distinguish about 52 categories of mental formations. So to practice is to learn how to handle all these mental formations, 51. And feeling is one mental formation. So we have learned how to handle a feeling. Now we have to handle the rest of the formations. This is a 50. And there are positive mental formations like compassion, loving kindness, understanding, forgiveness. There are many good ones in us. And they are in forms of seeds. In nuclear physics, they speak about particles. And they have all kinds of particles with their names. In Buddhist psychology, we also speak of particles, of the mind in terms of particles. And in the Buddhist literature, we use the word bija. It means a seed. Seed. So there is a seed of anger in us. We might be laughing and having a good time. We are happy. But that doesn't mean that the seed of anger is not there. It's there, sleeping. So that is a particle in our mind. It's always there. If someone come and say something or do something, he might touch the seed of anger in us, and the seed of anger will manifest as the energy of anger. When it is lying quietly down there in the bottom of our consciousness, it's called a bija, a seed. We have a seed of anger down there. And some of us have quite a big seed of anger in there. 10 years ago, he was not as angry as he is now, because he has allowed the seed of anger in him to grow. We should not do like him. We should not allow the seed of anger in us to grow every day. And there are ways to do that. So when the seed of anger is there sleeping, we call it a bija, a seed. And when it manifests into the energy of anger, we call it a formation, a mental formation. Mental formation. It is anger. So anger is a mental formation. And every formation mental formation it has a seat down there in the bottom of our consciousness. In Buddhism, we speak of consciousness in terms of seats. There are at least two layers of consciousness. In fact, eight. But roughly, the upper part is called a mind. Mind consciousness. And down here, it is a store consciousness. It is called store because it stores all the kind of seeds down here. 51 kind particles of mind. And there are negative ones like craving, fear, despair, anger. And every time they manifest as mental formation up here, we suffer. So we have to learn how to handle a mental formation when it is manifested to this level. And we have learned that there is a very good sit up down here called mindfulness. And when the seat of anger manifests, we have to invite the seat of mindfulness to come up by practicing mindful breathing, mindful walking. And when the seat of mindfulness is up here, the mental formation of mindfulness is also here. So it is the energy of mindfulness that is taking care of the energy of anger. I see. So everything comes from down here. And we invite one good mental formation to be up here in order to take care of a mental formation that is not so pleasant. But there are many good seats down there. There's the seat of enlightenment, the seat of compassion, the seat of loving kindness. That is the Buddha in us. The Buddha is really there in us. And if we know how, and then we allow our Buddha to have a chance to manifest more often, and we will suffer much less. If we allow only the bad things to come up, and then we suffer. So in Plum Village, there is a practice called watering, seeds watering. You know that you have 51 kind of seeds down here, and you don't want to water the negative seed, the seed of craving, the seed of jealousy, the seed of fear. If you allow that seed to be watered, they will become mental formations, and they will make us suffer. When you read an article in a magazine, that article may water the seed of anger and fear in you. So be careful. Select your reading. Don't consume the things that help the negative things in us to manifest. There is a seed of craving, the seed of despair, the seed of fear in us. We should refrain from consuming items, even conversation. Conversation can touch off many bad things from deep down there. So that is the practice of mindfulness. Don't listen, don't view, don't read the things that help the negative siddhas to come up. And as adults, we know how to do that. And we advise our children to do the same. And we also know that there are many good things down here, like compassion, joy, loving kindness. And it is good to allow these seeds to have a chance. So we can listen, we can view, we can read, we can talk to each other in such a way that we touch the good seeds down here and they will come up there and make us happy. When you listen to music, the kind of music that can be uplifting, the kind of music that can get you down. So select the kind of music that is helpful. When you read books, select the kind of books that can bring about good feelings, wonderful feelings in you. So this kind of practice is called selective watering. You water only the good things, the good seeds. You don't water the bad seeds in you. And when you are in a relationship, you have to invite the other person to join you in a practice. There are times when we can sit down and you say, "Darling, you know that I have negative seeds in me. I don't want to water these negative seeds in me. And please help me not to water these negative seeds in me. If you water the seed of despair, anger, grieving in me, I will suffer. And if I suffer, you will not be able to be happy. So help me. So I will refrain from watering the negative seed in me. And darling, please refrain also from watering the negative seed in me. Because I make the same vow. I make the vow not to water the seed of craving, anger, despair in you. Because I know that if I do, you will suffer and you make me suffer. So let us sign a treaty, a peace treaty, a practice treaty, that we take care of each other by not watering the negative seeds, and we water only the good seeds. I remember one day we celebrate the birthday of the Buddha here in the Upper Hamlet. That morning, I gave a Dhamma talk on flower watering. You water only the flower, you don't water the garbage. You practice selective watering. And I noticed that in the audience, there was a lady who cried from the beginning of the talk to the end of the talk. She had come from Bordeaux with her husband. So after the Dhamma talk, I went to him and say, "Dear friend, your flower needs some watering. You need to water your flower." I did not have to say more because he understood. He knows the practice, but he did not practice. He had learned about the teaching of flower watering before, but he forgot to practice. So after lunch, they drove home to Bokdo. And during the time of driving, he practiced watering the good seeds in her. It takes only about 1 hour to arrive in Bokdo. And when they arrived, the children were very surprised to see their mother blooming like a flower. Because during the time of driving, he watered the good seeds in her. She has many talents, many virtues. You just recognize that and say that you are grateful that she is who she is. And she blooms like a flower. So the practice does not need a lot of time to succeed, to be successful. And a few hours of practice can already change the situation. And we can practice watering the flowers in many ways. We can even use our portable telephone to practice flower watering. We can bring happiness to him or to her right away by recognizing the good things in him or in her. A son can do that for his father. A daughter can do that for her mother. And when the door of the heart is open, communication is restored. So this is an easy practice. And that is the object of the nine exercise. You know that there are good things in you. There are positive mental formation in you. You have the seed of compassion, forgiveness, joy, brotherhood, sisterhood. And when you are alone, you get in touch with them. And you water. And this practice is called gladdening the mind. You make the mind strong, happy for your healing, for your transformation. And you know that the other person has also good seeds in him or in her. And if you can do that for you, and then you can do that for him or for her also, transformation can be very quick. He or she can smile just after a few minutes of practice. So the nine exercises are gladdening the mind. The mind here means mental formations. It consists in selecting the good seeds and recognize them and water them in you and in the other person. There is a story in old time. People did not have a computer. In the old time, my generation, we keep our love letters in a box. We cherish very much the love letter the other person write to us. Because there was no email, not telephone. Telephone is not a lot of telephone. So the first letters of love that you receive, you treasure, you keep it very safely in a box. In Vietnam, well, we know that this kind of biscuit called Le Fèvre Utile, when you have eaten up all the biscuit inside, you can use the box in order to preserve your love letters. Le Fèvre Utile. Many people did that in Vietnam in the old days, my generation. Most of us did not have a telephone and the computer did not exist. So we cherish. So that morning, the gentleman called his wife and said that he has to go to New York for business. And he cannot go home. So the lady at home, she said, okay, if you need, and then go. Their relationship is not so good. They could not talk to each other very well. And he did not feel happy, enough happiness going home. And she knew that she would be alone at home for several days, but she didn't care because even with his presence at home, they were not happy. Communication has become difficult. That morning, she was looking at her robes, and she discovered the box, the loo box, in which she still keep the love letters he wrote to him when he was a young man. And she was curious because there has been a long time she did not see that box. So she opened the box and she picked up one of the letters and she began to read. It's very interesting. She hear his voice again, very sweet, very sweet. And she felt she suffered less. So she stood there and she read the whole letter and she feel like the rain, the spring rain. Because it had been a long time. He has not spoken to her with that kind of language. But the seeds of happiness of the earlier days are still there, buried deeply in the bottom of your consciousness. So when you read that letter, it watered the seed of happiness when you were the lover, when he was still your charming prince. So she feel she suffered less just by reading one of the letters. Maybe 15, 20 years already has passed. So she took the whole box and she sit down and she began to read a second one, a third one. Interesting. So many memories of happiness and love in the past come back to her, and she feel much better. That she did not know that she was allowed here in herself the happiness seed in us in her to be watered. She just enjoyed reading one after another, and she finished more than 50 letters in the box. And after having finished all the letters, she asked the question, as how happiness cannot continue like that, like that. And she wants to write him a letter, because in the past she was able to write love letter also. So she sat down and she began to write him a letter. Because and she is able to write with the language of love, because the seed of happiness of love in her have been watered by the reading of all these letters. Her letter is very sweet, and you know that during the time she wrote that letter, she also practiced watering the seed of happiness in her. But she did not know that it's a practice. She was practicing the ninth exercise of mindful breathing without knowing that. And after finishing the letter, she put it in envelope. She wrote his name and she put it on his desk. And from New York, he called. He said that he cannot go home right away. He has to stay a few more days. And she answered. She said, "Well, darling, if you need to stay a few more days, just stay. It's okay." But her voice is different. She has become another person after having reading the love letters, after having sat down and write the new letter. And he noticed that, because it has been a long time she has not talking to him like that, with her sweet voice. And after having hung up the telephone, he asked himself the question, why and how? It has been a long time she did not speak to him sweetly like that. And he did not understand why. So he arranged to come home as early as he can. And the night he arrived, she knew. He went straight up to his room, and he found the letter. And he read the letter and stayed there for a long time. Because reading the letter, he felt that the seeds of happiness, of love in him, manifest by the reading. So he had the time to stay quiet. This is a kind of meditation. You allow the seed of happiness in you, the seed of love in you, to be watered. And where he stayed very long up there. And when he come down, they had a very good conversation. And there is talk communication. So if you still keep your love letters, you can make good use of it. Because by reading these letters, or if you sit down and remember, that is a way of practice also. You allow the seeds of happiness and love in the past to be watered. Happiness was possible during that time. Why not now? So half an hour and 1 hour of watering the good seeds in you can help you transform, and you can look at him or her with new eyes, and you can speak to him or to her differently, and you can renew your relationship. And it is possible for us to apply this teaching of the Buddha in order to restore communication and to help the love to be reborn. Yeah. the Buddha, while giving the first Dhamma talk, he spoke about diligence. Right decisions. That means that you continue with your practice, because your practice bring transformation, healing, and that is why you have to maintain your practice and continue to practice. It's like taking medicine. If the medicine help you to feel better, and then you have to continue taking the medicine. So diligence is the continuation of the practice. And many of us translate this into right effort, but it's not really effort. We need more intelligence than effort. And it is about watering the seeds. The teaching of diligence should be understood in four steps. The negative seed in us if it has not manifested up there on the level, upper level of consciousness, allow it to sleep quietly down there. Don't give it a chance. Negative seed. Don't allow them chance to become a mental formation. Because when it becomes a mental formation, at the base, it will be strengthened. If the seed of anger in him has become so important, because that seed of anger has had a many chance to manifest. And if that seed of anger in the last 10 years has not had any chance, it still remain very small. So the principle is that the negative seed in us, we should not give them a chance. That is why the practice of mindful consumption is very important. We consume not only edible food, but we consume also television, radio, magazines, conversations, and so on. We consume with our eyes, ear, nose, and mind. And when you consume like that, we may allow the seed of craving and fear and anger and violence to be watered. And the first step, the first aspect of diligence is to refrain from watering the negative seeds. And if you are a head of a family, you have to discuss with members of the family about a strategy of consumption, so that the bad seeds in us will not be watered every day. Very important to protect ourselves. Do not allow the seed of craving, anger, fear, despair to be watered by what we read, we watch, we listen to. It's very important. The second aspect of the practice of diligence is that if it happens that this a negative seed is watered and become a mental formation, and we have to do everything possible to help it to go back down there as a seed again. Don't allow it to stay too long up there. Remember our consciousness with two layers, mental consciousness, store consciousness. A negative seed, like the seed of craving or anger, should be kept there, not to manifest up here as a mental formation. And if it has a chance to manifest already. The mental formation of craving or anger is there. So a practitioner should do something in order to help this to go down again, not by the way of suppressing. You recognize it. And you may like to invite something else to manifest. For instance, when you get angry at one person, and the anger manifests up here, and you want to punish that person. Because when you are angry, you suffer. And you want to punish him or her because she has dared to make you suffer. But as a practitioner, we know the danger of allowing this mental formation of anger to be too long here, up here. So we try our best to invite it to go down, but not by the way of suppressing. First of all, we are aware of that. Oh, my dear little anger, I know you are there. I will take good care of you, to be aware of it first, to accept as it is. Then you might like to invite some mental formation to come up. Because that person has good qualities in him or in her. And if you know how to recognize one good quality in him or in her, and then the feeling of gratefulness and love will come up. And when the feeling of gratefulness, gratitude, and love come up, and this will go down. In the sutra, the Buddha used the expression changing the pack. Pack is a piece of wood that help you connect two blocks of wood together. And if that pack is not good enough, rotten, and then you have to change the pack. You use a new pack, and you put exactly like that at this point, and you drive the new pack in, and the old pack will be out. So this is a changing pack. This mental formation is not beneficial. It does not make me happy. So I bring up another one to replace it. It is like a piece of music, a song. If you don't like, you just push the button and stop, and you pass to the next song. You're changing the CD. So instead of speaking about changing back, we say changing the CD. If the song doesn't please you, why do you have to listen? You can change to another song. So this is the same. If this makes you you unhappy, why do you allow yourself to be a victim of it? Anger, fear, invite a new song to come up. And this one will go quietly down. So that is the second aspect of practice. The first aspect is not to give it a chance. The second aspect, that if it happened, that it come up, help it to go home as a seed. That is the teaching of the Buddha. And the third aspect of the teaching is about the good seeds. When you recognize a good seed lie in the bottom of your consciousness, try to touch it and help it to be born here. You have a seed of friendship. You have a seed of loving kindness. You have a seed of understanding. You have a seed of forgiveness in you. And when that seed manifests, you feel so wonderful, so free, so happy. Why don't you allow that seed to manifest? So the third aspect of the practice is to invite, to give a chance to the good seed in you. It's the opposite of the first one. The first one is not to allow the seed to have a chance. The third is to allow the good seed to have a chance. There are many ways, and flower watering is one. So, with mindfulness, we can very well recognize a good seed in us, the seed of generosity, the seed of love, the seed of joy to come up. That is the third aspect of the practice. And the fourth aspect of the practice of diligence is that when the good seed has manifested as a mental formation, try to keep it up there as long as you can. Because if you keep it longer up here, down here, at the base, it will grow. The good seed will grow down there. That is Buddhist psychology. Directly taught by the Buddha in the teaching of right diligence. So when a wholesome mental formation is manifested up here, the landscape of the mind is very beautiful. Love, forgiveness, joy, happiness. It's like when you have a friend in you visiting your home, that friend is bringing so much joy, so you try to keep him or keep her as long as possible to be with you. So the same thing is true with a good mental formation. So this is the four aspects of the practice of true diligence that the Buddha taught in the Noble Eightfold Path. We continue tomorrow.